Today's daf is daf kuf tes zayin. So we got to the last three lines of kuf tes vav amen beis. The Gemara says Amar mar hakol ksherim lahakriv, that any all types of animals are permitted. We know in the Beis Hamikdash and in Mishkan, you're only allowed to bring a behema and certain types. So you're not allowed to bring any chayos. So the Gemara says, when it came to the bamos, that you're allowed to bring any type of animal. So Menach Nemila, how do we know? Amar Rav Huna, Demar Kral, the Pasuk says, Vayiveh Noach Mizbeach LaHashem, Vayikach Mikol HaBehema HaTahoro Mikol Of HaTahor. So the Gemara says, Behema Kimashmo. Behema means any domesticated animal, such as a cow. V'chaya Bechla Behema. And a chaya is always implied by the word Behema. Behema is more of a general concept of animals that are walking. So that means whether it's a domesticated animals or wild animals, so chai is included in that as well. So we see even chayas were permitted in the Bama. Zachar munukevos to me.
What's a
behemoth?
Why is it
behemoth? Behemoth, we always have the Joshua. Whenever it says behemoth, behemoth always means chai, includes chaya. So therefore, chayas are also were allowed. Even though chayas are not allowed in the Beit HaMikdash, they were permitted on the Bamos. So then the Gemara says from the Brayis, it also had said, Zachar munukevos tamimim balimumim, whether it was a male or female, a balmum, a non-balmum, halachah, you're allowed to accept all of them. We'll skip the parentheses. Lafuke mechusar ever delo. The one exception, the one balmum that was not accepted in the Bama was an animal that was missing a limb. So Damar Rabbi Elazar minayil mechusar ever shenesar levnei Noach, even though every other balmum was permitted, was tolerated by Ben Noach, how do you know mechusar ever was not? Tamalomer mikol achai mikol basar, from all that which lives, all the flesh, Amar Torah have behema shechayin rashevarm shela, where the rashevarm, where the evarm were still alive, they were still attached, as opposed to if it was detached, it was mechusar ever, so then that would be disqualified. So that's a pasuk by Noach telling us that we don't accept the mechusar ever, but all other balimumim of the animals are accepted. So then the Gemara says v'dilma lemute trefa. Maybe it's telling us that a trefa doesn't work. The word chai mikol chai means alive. So a trefa is an animal that can't live for 12 months, and that's ein chai, it can't live. So maybe it's excluding an animal that's very ill, very sick, but nothing to do with an animal missing a limb. So the Gemara says, no, hahu milechayos zera nafka. The pasuk says lechayos zera, it has to be able to live. That tells me that the trefa is possible. So what I learned from the word mikol achai, a different pasuk, tell me that all the evarim have to be alive as well to exclude a muchos or evar. So the Gemara says, this all makes sense. Hanich l'man damar, trefa enach yoledes. It's all true that if you say a trefa can't give birth, so l'chaya zera can't be referring to having children. It's referring to an animal that's a trefa, is a disqualified. El l'man damar, trefa yoledes. But if you say a trefa could give birth, so then this is the chaya zera. A trefa then should be included because a trefa can have offspring. It would be lechayozer, can have offspring to continue to live. So therefore, if you assume that trefa is yoledes, so then what do you learn? That how do you know trefa is pater? Then it can't be learned from apostle. Can't be learned from lechayozer because a trefa can be lechayozer. It must be learned from mikolachai, the previous pasuk, in which case there's no source of mechuser aver that's disqualified from a carbon of bnei noach. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, Itach. The whole Pasuk reads, Mikol Hachai, Mikol Basar, Shnai, Mikol Tavi, Elateva, Lachayos, Itach, like you, Bidomim Lach, has to be similar to you. So this is the source that a trefa was disqualified. Just like Noach was not a trefa, so too has to be Itach, like you, an animal can't be a trefa either. So even if you assume a trefa can be yoledes, can give birth, and it's not excluded from the Pasuk Lachayos Zara, it would be excluded based on the pasuk Itach, like Noach wasn't a trefa, an animal that was a trefa also wasn't would be disqualified. Rather, an animal that is a trefa would be disqualified. So the Gemara says, Dilma Noach gufe trefa hava. Maybe Noach himself was a trefa. And when we say Itach, that has to be like you, that just like Noach was a trefa, so too the animals should be a trefa and should be allowed. So the Gemara says can't be because it says tzaddik he was Noachi tzaddik tamim haya bedor. So he's a tamim ksiv. Tamim means he was complete. He wasn't a trefa. He was very healthy. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Dilma tamim bedirach. Maybe in the way he had acted, his midos were tamim, but physically he wasn't tamim. Maybe he was still a trefa. Gemara says no. He calls it tzaddik sibbe. So tzaddik is one referring to his physical strength and one's referring to his midos. Well, I said, no, Dilma Tamim Bidirachov Tzadik B'masav. Maybe Dhamma means how his midos were, and Tzadik refers how his actions were, but we still have no indication that Noach was physically healthy. Maybe he was a trefa. So So Gemara says, Isaka daitach Noach gufei treifa hava. If you thought Noach himself was a treifa, mi kamerle, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu say to Noach, de kevaseich ayil shleimen los ayil, when the pasuk says, lahachios itach like you, we only want to bring animals that are treifas, just like you. But if an animal isn't like you, meaning if an animal is healthy, we don't want to accept it. That doesn't make any sense. A dafka wants someone that's a treifa. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting the standards to be similar to Noach must be Noach was shalim, he was healthy, so just like Noach was healthy, so do the behemoths have to be healthy, and a trefa would be puzzle. So then just to recap, how do we know that an animal that's mechutzer aver is not accepted? That's learned from the pasuk, mikol hachai. Okay. Now, if you take a look at Tosa for a second, the bottom Tosos here, he asks, Dilma Noach gufei trefa hava. Vim Tomar Halochai Achor Kain Shlosh Meil Shana. What do you mean? He lived for 300 years after the Teva. So it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So how can you suggest he's a Chaya? Okay, the definition of a Chaya, the Gemara in Chulin tells us, has to be lived less than Yud Beis Chodesh, less than 12 months. So what's the happening that he was a Trefa? Maybe he could have lived till 500 years more, and he had a certain weakness, he only lived 300 years. Maybe that's the idea. And that Trefa Taka can live. I mean, there's an opinion out there in the Gemara that Trefa can live more than 12 months. So if a Trefa could live 12 months, why would a Trefa be possible? It means it can't live as long as it should have been able to live. So maybe Noach died earlier than he should have. But then the Gemara, then Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, the higher Rugil Lechalik, Rabbeinu Tam would distinguish between Bein Trefos the Adam and the Trefos the Behemoth. They're very different categories. The Adam Islay Mazla. It has Mazla, has a certain what means a Malach helping you out, or a certain Mazla, whatever that means, the Gemara and Bamatia describes. So the while an animal has no Mazla, so if an animal gets ill, it's 12 months and that's it. If a person gets ill, he has still other ways of mazel or refuah helping him live. So the fact that an animal person lived for so long does not indicate he wasn't a trefa. Meaning he may have been a trefa even though he lived for so long.
The thing about the Noach got bitten by the lion, it says Rashi brings that.
Right.
There's a lashon there, so he wasn't shalim.
Uh-huh, interesting. Right, but it doesn't mean he was a trefa though. Just because he was bitten by the animal doesn't mean he was a trefa.
Yeah, the other question is that, I mean, as far as, was it only Noach, or also the animals weren't allowed to multiply on the
animals also.
So the whole fact that it's the Hayyot Nefesh, it doesn't make a difference.
No, because they're after
them. They were in the Teva year, so if they wouldn't have made the year, they wouldn't be multiplied afterwards because they wouldn't have made it out of the Teva.
No, but if you assume Yeladis is Chaya, Yeladis Chaya, it's rather Trefa is Chaya, so Trefa Chaya, you assume it can live for more than 12 months.
Again?
The trefa, if we assume trefa is a chaya, so a trefa that's chaya can live for more than a year. Not everyone holds that way.
It's machlokas. Meaning those who hold that trefa can give birth, they hold that they can live more than 1 year.
No. The two different machlokas. One that one that could give birth,
okay.
Another one that could live.
Okay.
But the whole process wasn't a year anyways. It ended, it was less than a year, I think, the whole teva, no?
It was almost
a year. It wasn't a whole year. Okay, so anyway, so the Chazon Ish, he writes here, that when we, based on Rabbeinu Tam's understanding of comparing a treif of Adam to treif of Behema, he says, all the time we have refuahs and people get healthy all the time. And he says, when we make the dimyon of Adam to Behema, it means without refuah. But in Achanami, with refuahs, with medication, animals and people could live for much longer. So he says, based on this, just because a person says, he testified that he saw someone's husband that was a treifa. So could you assume a year later that he's dead and she's allowed to marry? He says, of course not. Just because a person may have become a trefa, we have all types of medications and surgery that a person could live for much longer, and you can't prove from being a trefa that the person will definitely die.
Who said that?
This is the Chazon Ish. Okay. The Gemara now says, Vayter. Now, Miacha, Denafkulei, Mi'itach, from the word itach, L'chayo zera l'amali. So what, you know, the word l'chayo zera for? If we learn itach that a trefa, just like Noach was not a trefa, so too an animal could not have been a trefa. So what do you learn from the word l'chayo zera? To be able to have offspring, what's the need for that? Mal the same, what do you think? Itach, just like you, that l'tzavos, just like you, that you're not a trefa, l'tzavos ba'alma, afilu zakein afilu saris. So just like you need, in terms of a chevra, of animals that are gathered around, that you should have them in the teva together. So you don't, even though they don't have the ability to give offspring. So therefore, kamashon lechayel zera has to be animals that are healthy, that are capable of having offspring. That's what we learn from lechayel zera, that are all young enough to have offspring. So then the Gemara says, Torum about lo tumeim. So going back to the brayso from yesterday that says that a bal chayim, an animal, you're able to accept that those animals which were tahor, but the animals that were tamei, meaning in this case we don't mean tamei and tumah v'tahor, mean in terms of an animal that's kosher versus not kosher. So how do we know? Were we given the lachas this week, parsha A, we're told of which animals are kosher, which ones are not. So were Noach given the lachas of kosher animals that he was able to tell which were tamei, which were tahor? So the Gemara answers, "I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, I'm Rabbi Yonasan, me'osan she'asidim litar." From those that, even though at the time they weren't yet kosher, there's no such concept, but those animals that eventually will be kosher.
Well, I understand, but he said it takes seven
on the
Torah.
It says,
you know, but he's saying at that point they didn't have a concept of kosher and non-kosher. What does that mean? They didn't know what kosher and non-kosher was at the time.
Those that you take seven of? Those that came
seven? No, so that's going to get the answer. So you're ready to know the Gemara. How do you know which ones? How do you know? No one told them the lachas of kosher and non-kosher. V'kedev chista, rav chista, heviron lefnei teva, and kosher teva kolatita b'yadua shu tahor. Anything that the teva opened up that we knew there was a tahor animal is kosher. Eina teva kolatita b'yadua shein and temem. And then if it didn't open up, we knew that it wasn't a kosher animal. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Abo Amar Kala Pasuk says, by the way, there's a mechalkis, whether it means an animal that did an avera, is that what it means, tame versus tahor, or whether a kosher, non-kosher animal. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Abo Amar, a different way he knew. Amar Kra, Vabam Zachar Nekeva, that they came, the animals came on their own, Habam Me'elam, that came on their own, that was the indication. If they didn't come on their own, then they wouldn't accept it. So everything was done siyata d'shmaya, either because the animals on their own came, or because the teva, or the ability of the teva to accept or not accept.
Meaning the ones that came seven were tahor,
either kosher or non-danavera, exactly.
Right. That's, I was also thinking that that's why would we say that they might be treifa if the temple sent the animals, they came by themselves.
That would be another way to know that which ones are treifa, right?
Meaning, what's the whole habimina that maybe they were treifas in
right?
The,
I hear that.
Right.
Also, in terms of mina havayada, how did he know that which animals were kosher, which ones not kosher, which ones did avera, which ones were not done avera? How do you know which ones were treifa, which weren't our treifa? Meaning,
it's
you only take
unless you shaft.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Gemara's Amar Mar about Kol Karvu Olos. Then the Brisa said all the karbanos that they brought in times before the Mishkan were all Olos. They only brought Olos prior to the Mishkan. Only after the Mishkan did they bring Shlamim and other types of karbanos. Olos in Shlamim Lo, but they didn't bring any Shlamim. The Haksiv doesn't the pasuk say Vayizbechu Zvachim Shlamim LaHashem Parim. So here clearly this is a pasuk that took place before Matan Torah and they brought Shlamim as well. Ela Ema, what it means to say is Hakol Karvu Olos. Everyone brought Olos. Ben Noach and Ben Yisrael all brought Olos, but the Noach Olos in Shlamim Lo. Everyone brought Olos. Yes, there were times when Bnei Yisrael brought Shlamim, but Bnei Noach only brought Olos, and Bnei Yisrael brought Olos, and they also brought Shlamim. Kiman Damar, the Gemara said, who does this go like? This sugya. Lo Karvi Shlamim Bnei Noach, that the Bnei Noach didn't bring Shlamim. Dietamar, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. Chadamar, one holds Karvi Shlamim Bnei Noach, one held that Bnei Noach actually did bring Shlamim. And Chadamar, the other one held Lo Karvi, they didn't bring Shlamim, Bnei Noach only brought Olos. My time of demand amar karvu shlamim bnei noach. What's the reason why the one who thinks that they did taka bring shlamim? Tichsir, the pasuk says the hevel hevi gamhu mi becharos tsono umil chayvehem. Hevel kain hevel both brought karbanos. Hevel's carbon came from a bechor tsono mi chayvehem, from their fats. So ezu davar, the gemara makes a kajasha. Which part shechal vel karv, that he was only makriv the chaylev, the fats, the gabim mizbeach. But why doesn't it say the pasuk baster as well? Must be vein kulakari, but not the whole thing. Legavi mizbech, meaning that Hevel only brought the chaylev, but he didn't bring the baster. He ate the baster. So what's that which only chaylev goes on the mizbech, but the baster does not go on the mizbech? Haviyomer zesh shlamim. So we see Hevel already brought shlamim. He was the first one to bring shlamim. My time of demand amar lo karvu. What's the understanding behind the one hole who holds that Ben Noach didn't bring shlamim? They bring a pasuk. It says in Shiashirim, dechseva uri tzafon voi seman. So what's Tzafon? Tisna'er, the pasuk says, Uma Shemase B'Tzafon, wake up the nation that brings Tzafon to the north, that Olos were brought in the north. V'Savo, Uma Shemase B'Tzafon of Adarim, allow the king, the Uma, the nation, Melech Mashiach, who brings both a Tzafon and Darim, brings animals both in the north, which is the Ola, and the south, which is referring to the Shlamim. So you see, based on the pasuk, that we refer to the Goyim as Tzafon, because they only bring Olos, and they don't bring Shlamim. Mar nami haksiv umichaveim mishmeneim didu. So it doesn't say michaveim. So it doesn't imply the animals that were shlamim that Hevel brought. It doesn't mean the fat. It means shmeneim didu, the fat ones, not the fat of the animal. Einach nami put everything on the mizbech. Hevel put the entire animal because it was an ola. And chaveim means the fattier animals. But einach nami the baser was going on the mizbech as well. Umar Nam, doesn't it say in the pasuk Haksiv Uri Tzafon, the one who held that Ben Noach did bring Shlamim as well, how is he going to interpret the pasuk in Shir Hashim that says Uri Tzafon? We refer to the Ben Noach as Tzafon because they only bring Olos that come in the north of the Mizbeach. Ha'ubi Kibbutz Galyos, who Dichsiv is referring to in the times of gathering together, Kibbutz Galyos, that it's going to come from the northern side, I believe, something along those lines, right? That they're going to turn to the northern direction, and they're going to awaken up the southern direction. Does Rashi explain further here? Rashi says, Kibbutz Galios, Hachigamar, Uri Ruach Tzfonis, allow the northern wind to wake up, Ubay Ruach Dromis, Lekabetz Galios, Mefuzaris Bechem, to allow the southern wind to come in. I don't know what that means in a deeper sense, but it's not referring to the Karbanos, rather it's referring to the different winds and directions. So then the Gemara says, V'haksiv, doesn't the pasuk say when it came to Moshe talking to Paro, Vayomer Moshe gam ata titen biyadenu, you're going to also give us animals zvachim v'olos v'asinul Hashem alkenu to help us bring karbanos to Hashem. So the fact that olos is there, zvachim seems to imply shlamim. So we see they brought shlamim prior to Matan Torah. Zvachim lachila v'olos lahakrava. No, the zvachim is not referring to carbon shlamim; it's referring to shechting meat in order to eat. The Haksiv doesn't say Chose Moshe that Yisro was Ola Uzvachim. Vayikach, rather, Vayikach Yisro Chose Moshe Ola Uzvachim. So we see that this is prior to Matan Torah and he brought Zvachim. The Gemara says, no, Hahu Lacher Matan Torah, Hu Dechsiv. This is referring to after Matan Torah where they're already bringing Zvachim, they're bringing Shlamim. Hanich Laman, this makes sense. The one who holds Shi Yisro Achim Matan Torah, Haya, he came after Matan Torah, so you could explain Zvachim and Shlamim as referring to after Matan Torah. El Laman, the Amar Yisro Kodim Matan Torah, that he was there before Matan Torah, Marik Lamemer, how are you going to interpret the word Zvachim? They didn't bring Shlamim before Matan Torah. So Gemara says, you have to say, Ditmar, B'nei Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yeshu ben Levi, Chadamar Yisro Kodim Matan Torah, Haya, Chadamar Yisro Achim Matan Torah. As we know, there's a machlok, is when Yisro came. Was it before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah? So Gemara says, therefore we're forced into saying, Leman Damar Yisro Kodim Matan Torah Haya, Kasavar Shlamim Hikrivu B'nei Noach. That if you assume that Yisro came before Matan Torah, how do you interpret the word Zvachim? It must be that you also hold that the B'nei Noach brought Shlamim as well before Matan Torah, and everything works out nicely. But if you assume that Yisro came after Matan Torah, and that's why he brought Shlamim, you're still able to say that prior to Matan Torah, B'nei Noach didn't bring Shlamim. So it seems that these two machlokas may very well connect to each other. The idea of whether B'nei Noach brought Shlamim before Matan Torah or they didn't, and whether Yisro came before Matan Torah or he came after Matan Torah. The Gemara now says, Kitanai, to read machlokas Tanaim, when exactly Yisro came. Gemara says, Vayishma Yisro Koyin Midyan, he heard something that happened. What did he hear? Mashmu Ashama, Uba Viniskai, he heard something that really inspired him and he converted him. So Machlokas here. Rabbi Shua Omer Milchemes Amalek Shama, he heard about the battle. Sharei Ksiv Bitsido, it says right next to the Pasuk of Yisro, Vayachalosh Yoshua Es Amalek Ves Amo Lefi Char. Right before Yisro, it says the Parsha of Amalek, that's what he heard. That was the last episode. Rabbi Elazar Modai Omer Matan Torah Shama, Uba. He heard about the Torah. He heard about the giving of the Torah. There was this powerful sound that went throughout me sofa olam at sofa from the entire world. They're all overtaken by this trembling, this sound, in their homes, in their palaces. They're all saying song. Shenemar, it says in Tilim, kulo omer kavod, in their own house, their own palace, they all sing the kavod to Hashem. What happened? Nitzkabsu kulam eitel bilam harasha. They all gathered together to bilam. V'amrulah. They said to him, Ma kol ha'amon asher shamanu. What's this voice, the sound that we hear? Shema mabul bal yom. Is there a flood that's going to come? So he says, not to us. Hashem the mabul yashav is going to return a mabul to the world. Amr lahem, but Bilam says back to them, no. Vayesha Hashem melech liolam, kvar nishba Hashem already took a shvua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'enu mevi mabul liolam. There's not going to be any more floods in this world, not to worry. Amrulo, they said, perhaps it's a mabul shamayim enu mevi, of a mabul shel esh mevi, maybe not one of water, but a fire, a flood of fire maybe he'll be going to bring down into this world. Shenemar, kinei ba'esha Hashem nishba, he judges based on fire. So the Gemara says, no, Amr Lehem, Bilam explains, Kvar Nishba She'enu Mashchitz Kol Basa, he already took a shur, he's not going to destroy this world. So then Amr Lehem, so Ma Kolo, Hamon Hazeh Sheshemanu, what do we hear? What's that powerful sound? Amr Lehem, so Bilam says to the Malchei Umas Olam, Chem the Tova Yeshlo Bebez Gnazav, this is precious item that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in his treasure house. Shehayisa Gnuzah Etzlo Teisha Meos V'Shivim V'Arba Doros, he's been keeping preserved there for 974 generations prior to the creation of the world. He wants to finally give it to his children. Hashem owes la moritein, that owes that strength of Hashem. He's giving over to his nation. Miyad paschu kum, they all opened up and said, "Amu kulam v'amru Hashem yivarech es amu ba'shalom." Hashem should bless his nation with peace. So that's the one that they heard from Matan Torah. What?
It says here that they mafiyolim from arzazam radu veichol. That they all trembled, and then they said Shira. So it seems that they realized that this was happening, this whole noise was from Hashem. So are they going to?
So they said, I guess they knew something powerful. They didn't know what it was, though. They said something powerful, covered, and now after clarifying what it was, and they said Shalom as well. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, Omer.
It explains it's 974 because it were another 26 generations till they gave Matan Torah, so I wanted to add, it should be exactly 1,000. From the creation of the Torah till Matan Torah.
So then the Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar Omer, the third shot of what Yisro actually heard was Kriyas Yamsuf Shama Uba. He heard about the Kriyas Yamsuf. He came Shenemar Tizvah He Kishma Kol Machay Amori. They heard what was going on. V'Yaf Rochav Hazona. She heard as well. Amr L'Shlucha Yeshua to the messengers of Yeshua. Kishemanu Eis Hashehovi Hashem Es Meya Yamsuf. We all heard about what happened at Yamsuf. So there are three different things that caused Yisro to come. One of them was Matan Torah. So we see that he came after Matan Torah. The other opinion, he came possibly before Matan Torah already. They heard from the Amalek or Yamsuf.
We had Amalek,
yeah. That was the first opinion. So then the Gemara says, Maisha Hassan, how come when it came to the Yamsuf, or rather the Yarden, Amar says, Elohaya ba od ruach, there's no ruach anymore. This wind stopped and the Yamsuf went back to its, rather the Yarden went back to its position of flowing. How come here by Kriyas Yamsuf it says the Kamar v'lo kama od ruach b'ish? There's no more spirit in man. Weird wind. It's a very strange way to speak. So what does it mean? Ein ba ruach, ein lo kama od ruach b'ish. So Gemara explains it's referring to the man's inability, says Rashi, rather Gemara, the filu akshuya nami lo akshay, the man's inability to have tashmish. Rashi explains on top here, the filu akshuya. Aver latashmish lo akshu, that there's no ruach left in man. V'hi shayisa yodas bedaver. So Rachav knew this. The amr l'shluchei Yoshua b'lashon zeh. That's why she used the lashon of ein bo ruach v'ish, because she knew what was going on, because she was involved with men, as we know. Munay yada. How do we know that? How is she aware of that? The ish that had no ruach. The amr mar. It says ein lo kol sar v'nogid shalabal Rachav azona. There is no great leader that wasn't with Rachav. So she knew from that time period that amra. That they said, Bas Esther Shanim HaYisrael, she was 10 years old, Kishayotze Yisrael Mimitzrayim, she was 10 years old when Yisrael crossed, Bnei Yisrael crossed the Yamsuf. Vizanza Kalar Bam Shana Shayu Yisrael Bimidbar, and she was Mizana those 40 years, Lacher Chamishim Shana Niskaya Vamr, after 50 years, then she converted. Vamr, she says, Yimachali Bishar Cheva Chalom Pishin, let the 40 years I was involved in Znus be a machal for the way I saved the Shluchei Yeshua. So since she was involved in this Indian of Znus, she was aware about the lack of Ruach that was an ish from already from the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, Gemara now says, Amar Mar, Ov de kochavim bezman hazeh rishayin la'asos kain, that although we are not allowed to, Bnei Yisrael are not allowed to make bamos, the Ov de kochavim are permitted to make bamos. How do we know that they're allowed to make bamos? The Tanur Rabban of the Brisa tells us that Be'er el Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael is mitzuvin al shchut eichot. This is the context of the Yisrael shchut eichot. Only Bnei Yisrael are mitzuvin on this. The Ein ha'ov de kochav mitzuvin al shchut eichot. They are not. They don't have to listen to the lachos of shchut eichot. Therefore, every Nachri could build his own bama and makiv his own carbon how he pleases. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha Amar Rabbi Asi Oser Lisayana Vlasosa Nishlichusam. So the Yid Oser to help build this bama for them. So Amar Rava but to teach them is permitted. Now, although he can't be Messiah in terms of building a bama, in terms of teaching the halachas, that's permitted. Now, even though we know it's aser for a Jew to teach a goy Torah, that's only true when it's something that's not shayach to them. When it's shayach to goy, it's permitted. Just like an isha, you're not allowed to teach a woman in the Torah, but it's shayach to her, she needs to learn, you have to teach her. So to that which is shayach to a goy, you're allowed to teach as well. So you could give a shir to a goy about murder, about avodah zarah, about arayas, all that which they're commanded on, you are allowed to in fact teach them. Gemara brings a maisa now, kihad de ipra, Hurmiza Ema the Shurmalka. Irpa Hurmaz was the mother of the Shurmalka, the king, the Persian king, Shur. And Shadar Kurbani Lirava, she sent the carbon to Rava to bring Shal Chalei. So she sent with a Shliach, Asku Nele, that they should bring this carbon, Lashem Shemaim. I want this animal to be taken as a carbon. So what did Rava do? Amar Lahu, the Rav Safra, the Rav Acha Barhune, he told two Talmidim, Zilu Davru Tre Ulme Gulei, go to get two Tre Ulmes, the non-Jews, to go of a certain amount of age, two young men, V'chazu Heicha Damaski Yamash Sirtan, and find an area where the water has not come on, meaning dry land, five dry land, U'shkalu Tzivi Chadase, and build a new Mizbech. You can't use an old Mizbech, it should be a new Bama, V'apike Nura Mitara Mimara Chadse, and create a new fire, and Asku and Nehele, L'shem Shemaim, and burn up on a Bama. So build a Bama. They're able to build a Bama for a carbon of the Nachri.
I guess students what to tell these non-Jews what to do. Is that what it is?
I must have been teaching the two boys what to do, the two Nachrim. So Amarle, they say, Amarle Abaye, come on, who holds this way? They have to use brand new wood and brand new fire, everything. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, the Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Omer, Ma Mizbeach, Shal Yishtamish, just like the Mizbeach, the Machlok is where the source is for that, but just like the Mizbeach has to be built brand new, can never have been used, but no Hedio could have used the stones for building a Mizbeach, so to Af Eitzim Shal Yishtamishu Behen, Hedio has to come from something that was never used before. So they ask an interesting question. The Baal Turim points out, when it came to Yaakov Avinu, when he fell asleep in the Machlok Mikdash, it says, Vayikach HaSeven HaShesh Shamir El Shosav Mi Yosem HaSom HaTzeva. He built a stone around his head, and then afterwards he woke up in the morning, he says, Ma Narok HaMachlok HaZeh, this place is so holy, let me build a Mizbeach here. So the Baal Turim asks, how could he build a Mizbeach from a Vanim that were already used? The Gemara here tells us that you can't make a Mizbeach of something that was used by a Hedio. He just slept on it. How could he build a Mizbeach? So he ends up saying that the Isser of using old Avanim is only with regards to building a Mizbech. But with regards to building a Bama, you are allowed to use Avanim that were Mishamish from a Hedyo. So Minchas Chinuch asks, I don't understand. The Gemara here is talking about a Bama, not a Mizbech. And we still see you can't use Avanim that were Mishamish by Hedyo, even for building a Bama. So Minchas Chinuch therefore answers that no. These were not used by a Hedyo. Yes, he slept on them. But they were initially, these were the same rocks that were used by the Akedah of Yitzhak Avinu. And therefore, they already were mishtamish for Kadah Hekdesh. So even though Yaakov slept on it, Yaakov wasn't contaminating it. Only rocks that were only used by a Hedyo may not be used for Kadosh. But since these rocks were initially used for the Akedah Yitzhak, so then you are allowed to use it afterwards, even though a Hedyo used it in between. Okay, there's a Magen Avraham who writes that not only does the Mizbeach and the Eitzim need to come from brand new items, but he thinks even the Klisharis has to come from things as well that was never used by anyone else. So he says, but let's say you had a Klisharis that was used by Hedyo, and then you change it. And you had a Shinoi, we say, Pan Mechadash, Mechadash is Baolakan, you could change something. He brings a raya from the Maros Sovos, from the Kira. The Kira is made from the mirrors that the women used. How could you make a Kira, a Keli, out of something that was used by a Hediot? It's a Klisharis, can't come from something already used. Since they had transformed it and made it into something new, it lost its shame of Maros Sovos and is permitted. But if it didn't change, Einach Nami, you couldn't use Kalim from a Hediot to be used for a Klisharis.
So everything from the Mishkan was Hediot. All the donations.
I'm not sure. Was it all used for things they collected, but was the things that was used necessarily? I'm not sure. I don't know. Could be. If it, yeah, either way, it was melted.
Exactly. Once
right.
It melted.
Right. Sure. So the Shapan Mechadash Lakan, either way. So then the Gemara says, "V'ha mod Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua b'bama." Doesn't Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua agree when it comes to bama? You are allowed to use wood that has been used already, even old wood. The Tani, the Brisa says, "Kasuv echad." We're going to go on a bit of a tangent now. We'll come back to this in a second. Kasuv echad Omer va'iten David la'arnon b'makom shikle zav mishkal sheish melos. That David gave Arnon 600 amounts of money to build a mizbeach. Because if another pasuk tells us, "Vayikain David esa agorin esa baker bekesis shkalim bechamish," may you only use 50 shekel to buy the mizbeach and all the different things needed for the bama. Haketa, did he pay 600 or did he pay 50? So the Gemara gives three answers. One is gova mikol sheva v'shevet chamishim shein sheish meros. One is that each shevet contributed 50 times 12, the total is 600. Rabbi Omer Mishim Abba Yosi ben Dustai Bakar ve'etim makum mizbeach chamishim, the bakar, the wood, the mizbeach, the area of the mizbeach, that costed 50. V'chal bayis kula, the building of the house, or the bama, that was the b'sheish meos. And Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua Omer Bakar ve'etim makum mizbeach b'chamishim, he says the same thing. We'll see the difference in just a second. V'chal bayis kula b'sheish meos, 50 for the makum and the bakar ve'etim, and then 600 for the entire house. So these are sound like the two different answers. Rather, the last two are exactly the same. So Gemara explains now that a bit of a gears here. There's some brackets and parentheses here, but the Gemara ends up saying after bringing these three different answers that the Chassid it says Vayomer Arona El David Yikach Vayal Adoni Hamelach Hato Beinav Rea Bakar Leolav Amorigim Ukli Bakar Leetzim. So we see from here that and it came to the second opinion, rather the third opinion, that Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua included in this as well was also the different kalim, the morigim. We'll see what morigim means as well, and the klibakar. So that was included in the 50 shekel, included all these various utensils. But we see from all this, though, that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, that they were using wood that was already used before, and the morigim and klibakar was already used. So he used it as the eitzim for the mizbeach. So we see that you are allowed to use eitzim that were already used beforehand by a hedyot when it comes to a bama. So the Gemara says, no, Rav Amar Lacha Hasanami Bichadase. Even though they were called morigim, they were various kalim, they were never actually used. They were made into different tools, but since they were never used, that's why they were permitted. So the Gemara then says, my morigim, what exactly is morigim anyways? Amar Ula Mita Shel Turbal, a bed of mutar. What is a my Mita Shel Turbal? That doesn't help us either. We don't know what that is. Rabbi Abaye says, Iza de Kirkasa de Daishin Disha. Some type of a wood plank that was very, very thick, and there's certain things like thorns or something sharp sticking out of them, and you use it to press each other and it would crush food and grains to make it edible for the animal. That's what it would do. And Rabbi Abaye says, Maikra, what's a pasuk that tells us that that's what a morigim is? It says in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, "Hinei samtich, I'm going to make you lemoreg charetz chadash bal pifios." So pifios has little like edges to them, sharp edges to them, or sharp spikes to them. So it's this pasuk Yeshayahu is referring to klaisos being compared to something sharp, something that threshes, something that presses each other and crushes something like a grinder. Klaisos being compared to this, that they're going to be in the future like that, that they're going to crush all the mountains around them and all the people around them. They're going to wipe them out in the future. Okay, so we see from all this, though, in the end, even though they use this this morigim as the firewood, since it was never used, it was considered fresh wood, and that's why permitted on the bama. So then, Makila Rava Levrei, Rava called out to his son, Rami Le Kraya Hadadi, he had a steer and psukim, and Ksiv, it says one place, Vaitin David La Arnon, and Ksiv Vaitin La David. One place it says that he gave, and one time he took it. So then it says, how does this work? Gova, Mikol Shevet, Shevet, Chamishim, he collected from each one 50. Shein, Sheish, Meos, which total 60. So that's how we deal. One is he collected, and one is he gave. So then it says, Vakati, Kashin, Hadade. And then, isn't there still Stira? Because one Pazik, Hasam, Kesef, Hachazav. One says silver, one was used gold. So what type of money was collected and given? Were they collecting silver? Were they collecting gold? El Hachi Kamar, in the end of the day, what is the answer is Gova Kesa, they collected silver, Kimishkal Sheish Meos Zav, the value of gold. So they were collecting silver coins, but had the value of 600 gold coins. Okay, before we go right to the interesting question that comes up here, we see from the Maisa, after this whole Maisa, that Rav accepted the carbon of the Goyim. And we know that you're allowed to accept the Goyim's carbonos. So many Gemaras talk about that. The question becomes, here's how Gemara in Babasa tells us he cannot accept the tzedakah of a goy? How come we can accept the carbon of a goy, but we can't accept the tzedakah of a goy? What's the difference exactly? So the answer that Achronim explained, the Hagos HaShri actually says, because since the tzedakah comes to mechaperes, we don't want to give kapara for the goyim. But the karbanos that the goyim were bringing were not those of chataos, they were olos, nedarim, nedavos. Nedarim and nedavos don't bring kapara. So we allow them to bring olos for nedarim, nedarim and nedavos, because it's not mechaper them, as opposed to tzedakah. Since tzedakah is mechaperes, we don't want to give them kapara, and therefore it's aser. There's an interesting tshuva the Minchas Yitzhak talks about. People put around these tzedakah boxes, let's say you place it into a non-Jewish owned store. But the patrons are all Jewish, so all the money going in there is going to be Jewish. It's going to be, we accept a tzedakah from a Jew. But once in a while, the owner might put in some of his own coins, some of his own tzedakah. So is that now giving him an opportunity for kapar by accepting its tzedakah? Even though 95% is going to come from the Jews, but 5% is going to come from the non-Jew, he thought one should not place in a place where a tzedakah box in a place where a non-Jew might put tzedakah in. He said, if one put it there already, you don't want to take it away because then it looks bad, so make it replace with something else. But either way, we see how serious the Gemara is and the Halach is that we shouldn't give them the chance of giving tzedakah since it's mechaperis for them.
Fundraising for a certain event, you shouldn't send the emails to Goyim.
Correct. If it's tzedakah related, one should not. Exactly. Yep. Okay. It's a big discussion, but yeah, in economic. Okay. The Gemara does say we are allowed to give out to them, though. We can't give them tzedakah because of Eva. If we're giving out to the Jews, not to the non-Jews, and everyone knows about it, you know, we're giving like some.
Why isn't that not Eva? If giving out to
you know, if they send, the Gemara said, if they send certain things, sometimes we could accept it, but then we don't really tell them that we accept it. We'll say, okay, give it to us. If they give a particular item, the Gemara Erchon said they want to donate to the menorah, we don't want their name to be in the menorah. It's a larger discussion. But overall, we don't accept tzedakah from them for the most part. The Gemara then says, Kachim Kalm, now quoting back from the Mishnah from a few days ago, the Mishnah had said, Kachim Kalm Nechol Mechol Machane Yisrael, that the Kachim Kalm, when it came to when the Mishkan was built, you're able to eat the Kachim Kalm anywhere in Machane Yisrael. So I'm Rav Huna says, what it means is, Bechol Mechomos Yisrael, wherever there are Jews, you could eat. Machane Lohavi, there were no Machanos in the Mishkan, in the Midbar. You didn't have any Machanos, you could eat anywhere you wanted. Eishvi, the Gemara asks the question, Rav Nachman, the Rav Huna, Machanos Bamidbar Lohavi, there were no Machanos in the Midbar. Hatani, the Brisa, clearly tells us that Kishem Machane Bamidbar Kach Machane B'Yushalayim. Just like there were Machanos in the Midbar, there are also Machanos in Yushalayim. Yushalayim, the Harbayis, was called Machane Yisrael. Harbayis Ad Lashar Niknar was Machane Leviya. Mikan Ve'elach was considered Machane Shchia. Ahem. And Vehein Nehein, the climb Shema Midbar, and that's equal to the climb that exists in the Midbar as well. So clearly this Brisa tells us that there were Machanos in the Midbar. What do you mean there were no Machanos in the Midbar? Ela Ema, what he meant to say, Rav Huna, was Bechol Makom Machane Yisrael, meaning no matter where, there was always Machane Yisrael. Even when they were moving and the Mishkan was taken apart into pieces, as they were traveling, there was still a din of Machane Yisrael. There was always Machane Yisrael, he was saying. So Pshita, of course there was. How could the Machane Yisrael fall apart just because they were traveling? So Gemara says, Ma'al Desema, if Sul Biyotze, you might think that if you had a carbon that was ready to be eaten, so you eat it in your certain place. If you walk outside, Machane Yisrael becomes puzzle. So you have to stay within Machane Yisrael. So one may think if they take apart the Mishkan, so now there are no walls, there's no Machane Shchi and Machane Levi anymore, that might have a din of Sul Yotze. Kamashwan, the Basar, does not become puzzle. And once the Mishkan's rebuilt, so then you're allowed to eat the Basar at that point. So Gemara says, Ema Hachanami, why not? Maybe it should be possible. What's the proof that when the Mishkan is not taken, what's the proof that when the Mishkan is taken apart, it's not possible Yotze? Gemara says, Amakra, V'nasa Olamoid, they would travel, the Olamoid would travel, meaning Afa, Pishanasa, Olamoid Ho, even though it was traveling, even though it was taken apart into pieces, it still had a din of Olamoid, had a din of the Mishkan, and therefore there was no Psul Yotze, it was still considered within the Machane Yisrael, and therefore permitted to be eaten. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah should pick up tomorrow.